This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV. This episode is a little bit of a passion project, it feels like. We rarely do just full season recaps of things. We're mostly an episodic, or at least buckets of episodes podcast, but we obviously loved White Lotus Season 2 so much that we wanted to hop on the mic to talk about it. So I guess just to roll things, there's really no like structure here. We created like some maybe like award categories that we'll discuss, but in general we're just going to throw some shit at the wall of what we thought about it. We'll maybe get to the awards categories at the end, and then we'll call it a day. So I can just start, since I'm already talking, and say that I loved season two. I recently got into season one, maybe like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. So very good for me that it was like, oh, season two comes out in a month. This is very nice. I didn't have to wait very long. I love the setting. I'm just so into it. We were just talking before I just started doing this spiel, actually recording, about the theme song. Theme song, iconic, so good. Characters, great. I had a blast again. It was maybe a little slower in like the middle beginning versus season one, but overall, loved it.
White Lotus is just such a, every episode goes by so fast. I'm like, did anything happen? And yet I'm hanging off of every word of every character. It was like Game of Thrones level hype Sunday nights for me.
Wow.
And I would mad when every episode ended. And I couldn't believe I had to wait another week. It was appointment television. The cast was incredible. I loved season one. I also watched that live last year in 2021.
So you're an OG.
I'm an OG, yeah. And I remember it being me feeling like every episode they keep you on this like 70% hype, almost like this music is just like never lets up and it's like almost always anxiety ridden, but it's not quite insane climaxes until the end or even plummets. It's just such a weird thing that Mike White does so well. And I love him. I'm planning on watching his Survivor season probably next because he was on Survivor, the creator of the show. But yeah, Jimmy, what'd you think?
I loved it as well. I think that I'll rewind for a second. I was just like Kyle. I started about 2 months ago, a month ago, watching season one with my wife here.
What?
Hey. Oh, yeah, right? Hey, yo. Hey, yo. I was the one, we talked about this when I finished, obviously not on pod because it's the first time we're talking about White Lotus, but I did say that my hot take was I didn't think it was amazing. I liked season one a lot. I loved the actors, the characters. I just thought that was very much like nothing's happening. And then you get to the end. And I think the biggest problem for me was that I went into that show so blind where I thought it was one thing, but it was another. Like you think it's like a murder mystery or something. But really, like Kyle's thing about it being a car crash in slow motion is just perfect because not only was I saying like, all right, in my head, because I had that headspace, I was like, nothing's happening to get us to this murder. Yeah. So I'm thinking nothing's happening, even though I was enjoying the characters and the acting. Thought the Kathleen saying the whole 70%, 80% is like anxiety ridden. Like I had this entire thing. I was sitting next to Steph saying the music is to make you anxious. She's going, I am so anxious. The way that it's being shot is to make you anxious. And I'm sitting there going like, I don't feel comfortable right now. And I don't think it was as bad in season two. I really don't think like it was even as close. Like I thought it was majorly different in season one, even though season two did have the similar plot structure. I thought season two, the storyline was way more interesting. I thought that it was easier to figure out where they're going when it turned into a storyline where Stifler's mom, Jennifer Coolidge, is part of the main plot where you're thinking she's going to have to do with the murder. And, you know, we'll get to that in a second. And again, I thought the acting for season two was amazing as well. So I just think that because the storyline was better for me in season two, that's why I enjoyed season two so much better.
Nice.
I've seen so many behind the scenes, a bunch of footage and stuff. They had the time of their lives over there for months. They actually lived in the hotel in Sicily that they shot at. So they were living that life as well, just at sleepaway camp for months and months on end. That is out of control. And let's first give a shout out to our boy, Albie. Have the hype for Albie, our boy Todd from The Magicians. We loved him first. Just so you know.
Yes, we did love him first.
Go listen to our Magicians season 5 coverage. You will hear us just gush over Todd.
Well, also, any Camp Rock lovers out there, they might have loved him actually first, because I didn't realize that he was in Camp Rock.
I never saw Camp Rock. Clip.
That's not Camp Rock.
That's not?
No, it's some other show with what's her name? That other Disney Channel star who's like, yeah, it's not Camp Rock. It's something different when she does that like weird hair over the.
Oh, my God. That smirk. I know what you're talking about. Oh, fuck. I don't remember what her name is.
She's not too old Camp for Rock. That old
era. Yeah, you might be. Okay, is Camp Rock Demi Lovato?
Yeah,
I thought that was Jonas Brothers, right? Okay,
Jonas Brothers, yeah. But I know exactly what you're talking about, but yeah. I guess that is true. He was in that first before Magicians, but fuck him. We loved him first.
Yeah, that's so true.
This cast was a 10 out of 10. Like, as soon as they, the cast last one, I know, like, Connie Britton, Sydney Sweeney, like, a lot of good ones. This one, for me, speaking of people I loved first, Megan Fahey playing Daphne was my favorite character in The Bold Type on Freeform. And she, all three of the main characters of that show are 10 out of 10s, but Sutton was the greatest character on The Bold Type. And man, does she do it for me in The White Lotus season 2. She is going to be so booked and busy after this performance, she's going to be like such a hot commodity for everything moving forward. I'm really happy for her, but I'm also like, she should be.
She's blowing up. Yeah, she is blowing up. Now, let me ask you a question, Kathleen. Bold Type was the one that our boy Jason was on, right?
Yes, correct.
Do they interact in the show?
He is with the brunette, Katie Stevens' character. Oh, okay. I think still. They interact, though.
For anyone listening, we're talking about friend of the pod, Jason Diaz from The 100, Vampire Academy, and apparently The Bold Type.
Yeah, season 4 of The Bold Type.
Debbie Ryan,
yes.
Debbie Ryan smirks, just to go back to 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Debbie Ryan. Is that a show?
No, it's from something else, but basically she's the main character and he's like the pop star. I've never seen it, but he's like playing to her in the crowd.
Oh, so is he a main character? Is he a main character in the show?
He's good.
Okay, good for him.
Yeah, but back to Daphne / Megan Fahey. Fahey, right?
Fahey, yeah.
Did you see the behind the scenes story of her and Aubrey Plaza?
Which one?
Getting lost hiking.
No.
Because they were tripping on mushrooms.
No, I didn't read that.
It was great because I think, oh my God, I'm losing. Megan was on maybe Seth Meyers first and told the story, but left out the fact that they were tripping. And then Aubrey Plaza went on and was like, yeah, I got a bone to pick with her because she made it seem like I was a complete asshole to all these people that we were meeting on the side of the road. But I was tripping sack on mushrooms and I was freaking hilarious. Out. Like, there was some context that was necessary in her story that she completely left out.
That's
yeah, they
funny.
All love each other. It's good stuff. I'm so jealous. That would be like, I would love to just be an extra on that, but just to hang out.
Daphne was incredible. She was almost, she reminded me of the dad, Sydney Sweeney's dad from season 1. I'm bad at names because there's so many, but because he was my boy. He was just like, I mean, he's a bit of an asshole because he's a privileged asshole, but like his shenanigans that he got up to just made me laugh so much. Like when he's acting like a monkey when he's drunk. It cracked me up. Me and Asia for weeks would just go, huh. Like, it just was so funny. And she, I felt, kind of filled that role of someone who, like, wasn't, like, necessarily oblivious to all of the drama happening around them, but was just so, like, happy-go-lucky on vacation, like, not letting anything really ruin their time as much as possible. And yeah, she was awesome.
Well, she had one of the most, one of our questions is going to be what your opinion of someone changed from the beginning of the season to the end. This is not my answer, but in the beginning, you do think she's just, to use that word, a privileged, entitled, like very wealthy, white, blonde woman, especially in the scene where she's like, I voted, right?
And yeah.
Like,
No.
I don't watch the news, all that stuff. All replies is looking at her like, are these two fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
But as it goes on, you realize how aware and self-aware she is of so much that goes on in her life. Like, I was so shocked that people didn't understand the kid when she shows the kid saying, oh, you should see my trainer. Yeah, it's just saying like, these are not Cam's kids, which is so dope. And her speech about not wanting to be a man and how lonely they are and like the elephant, that whole speech she does about being like, ugh, they're so lonely. Like to be a man, no. And obviously I just butchered that because it was a gorgeous speech, but just so well done. And so it's pretty much confirmed that her and Ethan banged on the beach, right?
I would say so.
I hope so. I'm just pissed they didn't give us any of the fucking content.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's left for interpretation, but my interpretation was they definitely did.
For sure. Yeah.
She's
willing to have kids with someone else, she's definitely willing to just bang Ethan out real quick to end vacation.
Well, when Ethan says to her, like, I think something happened between them, and she has that subtle face change, she's smiling, she goes down to concern for maybe 1 second and then pops her right back up and it's like, I think you just need to do whatever you need to do to like get through it or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the face change is way less about Cam and more about Aubrey's character, Harper, because she went on the whole spiel being like, I don't have any girlfriends. They all are just like shitty and betray you and talk shit behind your back. And here is this girl she thought she was making leeway with, and then all of a sudden she fucks her husband or whatever. So I was like, that was actually really well done, because she doesn't give a shit what Cam does. You know, it's like, it's going to happen. She does it too. But when Harper's involved, that's when she's like, okay,
yeah. Well,
we both need to do what we need to do. So let's go take a walk. I'm like, that's my girl.
Do you think that Cameron Harper actually banged?
That's what I was going to ask.
10 minutes unaccounted for, right?
Yeah.
Because he's like, you went, like, I was not right behind you. We didn't shut the door, put the like latch on, and then I knocked on the door. Like, there was like 10 minutes. So I like to think, yeah.
I feel like it's in between, like, them making out and them having, like, penetrative sex.
Sure.
If that's not
somewhere,
like,
well, I mean, that's exactly
weird way
what,
to say that, but
yeah.
I mean, Ethan says, like, did you blow him or something? Like, he is talking in the middle of that. Like, he's like, okay, you may not have banged him, but you probably did something worse.
If anything,
make out with him.
I'd like to think he went down on her, because I don't think Harper would be like immediately dropping on her knees for this guy. Like, that's a
great point.
Yeah, there's no shot. Like, she would want it on her. No way. No way she's sucking.
Does she seem like a blowjob girl? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Well, we also know that her and Ethan's relationship was very interesting, I guess, for lack of a better term, sexually.
Yeah.
More like, I guess, non-existent is the better word.
Yeah.
Just odd.
The jerk-off scene when she's about to walk in and does walk in, and I thought that was going to be way more catastrophic.
Yeah, me too.
But it really wasn't. She was just like, okay, like, all right.
I mean, I guess you are husband and wife, and it is what it is. But like, yeah, I thought she was going to be like, you freaking kidding me? Like, I'm right here. We're on like a amazing vacation. You got to be jerking it. Like,
it was also telling that he like was very open about it. He was like, oh, I was jerking off.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the first time they've had another, that conversation.
And that's another part of how, for the most part, he is 100% honest with his wife. You know, even the point where he was feeling so bad, he never did say like, oh, I think, wait, does he doesn't end up telling her like, she kissed me for a second and I stopped it, right?
Yeah. He left out a little bit of he definitely threw his own tongue in there, I would say.
Yeah.
He starts telling the story, leaves out what he needs to leave out, and then he has to backtrack a little bit, and then he gives everything away, I think, eventually.
It's
but,
just such a mess, man. It's such a well-crafted fucking mess.
I mean, there's so much you could talk about with the show, but he's an idiot. Like, I mean, if you know who you are as a person, and you know, like, you're talking to Cameron, who you're finding out is pretty much a POS in these types of situations, you're like, dude, I don't want to cheat on my wife, but dude, let's get hammered. Yeah, let's take some Molly. Let's hang out with these hookers. Yeah. Like, all you have to do is be like, bro, no, you're ridiculous. I'm not doing this. But he did decide to do all of it. You know, a lot of it is on him.
He definitely lubes him up a little bit with jet skiing, because like I would totally be like, yeah, let's get drunk and go jet skiing. And then once we're jet skiing, like if you throw Molly into the equation, I'm like, oh, fuck it. Let's take some Molly. And then, you know, things like that.
You're funner than Ethan, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you get to the point where they're sitting there at the dinner table and he's trying to wave over the hookers and he's like, dude, don't do it. Don't do it. Like, that's the point where you're like, bro.
Well, well-crafted mess is a perfect way of putting it, because there's so much baggage with them, with Cameron just being like, basically calling him like such a boring, boring incel. He calls him an incel at some point. It's like Ethan's baggage is like trying to show Cam that he can hang. He's a man and he can like, you know, fuck around or whatever. And there's so much baggage, like immature stuff happening, that Ethan can't even like help but say yes to these things, which is terrible. But the condom of it all is the most like infuriating thing. Also, when Aubrey's like, he fucked a hooker on our couch, this couch, why? Yeah. Like, it is so shocking. Like, your room is attached. Go into the other
bad.
Room.
It's so bad. I like felt him in that scene being like, realizing the words he was saying out loud. It's like, that just sounds like the worst lie ever.
Yeah. Like, where were you? Were you watching? What was happening here?
Yeah, he was insane. Watching.
Yeah.
He pretty much was. Like,
And we get a little too about their their college years seemed ridiculous. Like, I don't know why they would even be friends.
Oh, no.
No, right. Yeah, I agree.
Like, maybe one time in college, knowing how ridiculous college could get, where, like, if you fucked a girl that I was interested in and you knew I was interested in, you could maybe, you know, get through that and, like, okay, it's college. But, like, consistently would be nuts. I'd be like, you're a fucking piece of shit.
Agreed. 100%. Well,
he is. I mean, we know that he is.
Yeah. Let's talk about Mia and Lucia. I can start one of the categories, because one of these two is who I changed my opinion on the most, and that is Mia. I always loved Lucia. I thought she was just a little troublemaker, and I loved her as a plot device to just fuck shit up. But Mia, I actually ended up really liking by the end with her scenes with Valentina, not only because I am queer, but because I thought she was missing, like, her arcs were just... I was confused why they were there. She was just tagging along, like get the whole Viagra and like
she's like
filth of it all. I was like, oh my God. And her banging this pianist, and he's not even that bad. I'm like, why are you complaining to his face when he's going to help you? Like, this is cringing me out so bad that you're just during it.
She was
like,
if someone actively was saying ew while I was like having sex with them, granted, obviously it's a fucking weird situation where he's exerting all these power dynamics over her, but still, I would be like, okay, how about we just pack it up?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way my ego could ever survive that.
Until she had her main storyline, which we can definitely call it her main storyline, she just seemed like the hooker's friend who's not really a hooker, who they're just friends, but she'll party a little bit because... I agree, Kathleen, 100%. I was like, I don't really understand. She doesn't really need to be in this. This could be fully just Lucia's storyline, unless you just need her to be talking to somebody to move plot. And obviously, I'm 100% happy, like you are, that they gave her something towards the end of the season, which made her very, very good character. Like, you know, she fleshed out.
Apparently, these two were best friends separately, or really good friends separately. I think they were on an Italian show together at some point. They taped each other for their roles, sent them in, and then, but like Mike White or whoever cast them did not know that they were friends and casted them
separately, which is incredible.
That is really cool.
That is really cool.
I thought they were.
Can you imagine?
I know, that's so wild. Like, they give each other the call, like, holy fuck, we both got it. But
let's
I thought they were.
Jimmy.
We could do that. Let's do House of the Dragon season. Well, season two's.
We'll shoot for season four.
I was
gonna say. I said our homie Baby Monk said that it's about to start shooting, so they're probably done casting for season two. So we'll do three or four, Kyle.
Okay.
I gotta work on my accent and shit.
She changed the most because she was the one I was least interested in to someone I was like, okay, I actually really enjoy this. And my other one was gonna be Ethan with how much I disliked him by the end, but I thought the Mia one was a come up, so I chose her.
She had a great ending too.
Yeah. What did you guys think about them? Just in general thoughts.
The friends, the hookers.
Yeah.
Well, the hookers, the hooker and her friend, I guess. Yeah. I mean, that's what, is that what we're going to call her? Like as her profession? Like the, I mean, that's what
also the key term is, sex worker.
You could use her name too. She has a name.
No, I mean, I understand that, but I'm saying like when like Christopher Moltisanti and, you know, Albie,
they call her hookers.
They're saying it's the hooker. So I guess, I mean, it's the same way as me saying, are we going to call Jennifer Coolidge's companions the gays, Kathleen? Because
you,
that's what she keeps calling
can.
Them. Yeah,
these gays are gonna murder me.
Yeah.
Are you with the gays? Do you know the gays? The
so
screenshot
good.
Potential, like the me potential, is so funny with that.
As that was happening, Alex looked at me and was like, this is gonna be Twitter for another year. Like a whole year.
Yeah.
When it comes to Lucia and her very good friend,
Mia,
we I was actually going to say, talking about season one, and this is a wrong statement, and I'm glad I didn't say it. Like, I felt like season two interconnected the stories a lot better, even though season one, when you go back and think of it, they really did interconnect in a way. Like, they did at least interact the different stories and the different characters, but not in the super interesting way that season two did. Like, the whole dynamic where I'm sitting there freaking out, worrying if Albie's going to find out that Lucia was with his dad. And then, you know, all that, you know, all those little moving pieces made it just so much more interesting to me. And then obviously there's another connection where me and Lucia are trying to throw down with with Theo James's character, Cameron, and, you know, trying to get the money. Like, they are what like almost connects everything,
100%.
which is pretty cool.
Totally agree.
Yeah. And they had the best ending, like I said. Thinking of people who just made out like absolute bandits. I mean, we find out that the guy who's been chasing Lucia is not anything mean at all. They just seem to be friends. He works at like a local hotel, another one, it looked like. He was also like a concierge somewhere. So they just made out with 50K. And then she gets her, like, she looks like she's got her singing deal at the White Lotus. And she's made a friend with Valentina, at the very least, that they can just go out and hit fucking bars and clubs with. Like, they want to show her around. Like, that seems, I would love to see like a little mini movie almost of them just like, hitting all the lesbian clubs. Like, it would be fucking sick. It would be fun to watch. So, yeah, they definitely ended up just completely almost running the show. Everything that they did had all the impacts that we were looking for.
Yep.
The only bad thing is that they hurt the homie. You know, they got Albie. They won up to Albie.
I was glad. It was the heist of the century.
Yeah.
And guess what? When his dad looks at him and is like, I can't believe you're such a mark. Like, it's so good because he is such a mark. But
I got marked a little bit too. I'm gonna be honest. I was kind of believing that she liked him a little bit.
She did a good job. She did.
So yeah, okay. So should we talk about this right now since we're talking about the two of them? I just want to know, do you think she did like him at all, or do you think it literally was a game? Because I took it like she almost reluctantly did what
did. I guess
she did like him, and then she's like, but I'm going to go through with this, and I'm, you know, I like to think that for my boy Albie and my girl Lucia.
My headcanon is going to be that she knew that if she asked Albie for money, it would just come from his dad. So she didn't really feel it like she was stealing from Albie. She knew it was stealing from his dad, who she kind of thought was a bit of a prick.
Yeah.
And that's the way I'm going to take it, my headcanon. So she, unfortunately, had to use Albie as the middleman in the transaction. She was really trying to fuck over his dad a little bit. And there's definitely some level of attraction there. I mean, they had like, I don't know. Maybe
loved it. I loved it.
I mean, it's like one of those things where you're saying she was like, quote unquote, doing it for free because she liked him, but then she did get 50 grand out of it eventually.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, like, they had pretty consistent raw dog sex, which is like natural. We're built emotionally as humans to like equate that to a level of intimacy that I think goes beyond just, I'm trying to fuck you for 50K. So I could be naive, though. Maybe I'm a mark.
Two things. What was the her like boss Sergey, the fake guy, what was his name? It was like,
I don't remember
whatever his name was. I was actually mad when they introduced him. I was like, why are they just now introducing this character? I thought she was just doing this herself. And I felt like the prices were raising every single time. Like, I really thought she was just wheeling and dealing and getting herself. And she was, which I was so happy about, because I was like, that's a plot hole. Why did they write that way? Like, why wouldn't they introduce that she has to give money to someone else in the beginning? I was like, yes, 100%.
I swallowed it. I swallowed that hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, me too.
And number two, Albie, when he goes up to his dad at the table and is like, I need 50K. So entitled.
Oh, so fucking entitled. Yeah.
Terrible for my boy Albie. Yeah, terrible scene. I was like, fuck that. I would not be giving him a and he even fully is like 10K. He's like, no, 50.
Yeah, yeah. No. It's,
put in a good word with luck. Mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was bad.
And he also is like a little, not necessarily mean, but I feel like he's a little like snippy towards his grandfather. I mean, yeah. I don't think he's ever going to say anything that's going to convince his grandfather not to be the way he is. So it's kind of hard, maybe. But that was also like a little bit aspect of him. He was just hard to watch, man. There's so many scenes of his, and he plays it perfectly. It's wild to me that Adam DeMarco is like 31, 32 years old.
Yeah.
Because he plays Albie like that maybe freshly out of college, maybe even still in college. He could still be convincingly. I mean, like Todd and the Magicians, he is.
Yeah.
And it's just like he just seems so naive and like knows nothing about the world. Like he has no life experience. But in reality, the guy's fucking 32 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's acting, baby. What a good actor.
I read something, and I'm going to butcher this. I won't go too far into it, about the three men. So Bert is the oldest. Christopher is the dad. And Albie is obviously.
Well, wait.
Christopher, his name is Dominic, but Christopher is
the Sopranos. Is the Sopranos.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Really?
His name is Dominic. Yeah.
I was fucking Asia up with that too, because I was calling him Chrissy.
Me too.
I mean, he'll never not be Christopher Moltisanti to me, but his name in this show is Dominic. Yeah.
God, I mean, I never knew that because I kept just being like, Todd's dad is what I was calling him. Todd's dad or Todd's papa. Okay.
Well, Christopher Moltisanti went through enough to do more than Todd's dad.
Yeah, it's true. I never seen any of that.
What else has he been in? I mean, okay, he's Spider in Goodfellas. I'm talking about like
he's in The Office.
Oh, is he? Okay,
he's the karate guy in The Office that they.
I haven't seen The Office.
Okay, I haven't either. I just know that.
I don't remember that. I've seen The Office 80 times.
Obviously, Goodfellas, Sopranos. Okay, that's a time period, and then I feel like we just teleported to 2022, and he's in a show. Like I haven't seen him in anything mainstream in a long time, so that'd be interesting to look up to see. Yeah, I mean, he did great. I mean, it's freaking Chrissy.
Looking at this for Christopher. I'm just going to call him Christopher Moltisanti, but Christopher Imperioli, I believe.
Yeah,
he's in Lucifer.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay.
Why didn't you say it?
Yeah, why didn't you say it?
No, I knew that because I looked it up, but then forgot it. Like, I remember being like, oh, yeah, I remember.
Oh, you knew that at one point.
I knew it at one point, not like as I'm sitting here listening to you guys fumble on IMDb.
Yeah, I was going to say. Come on,
I was like, damn. You could
throw me a fucking life raft.
Wait, let me just finish this thought. So the three of them and their misogyny and how they approach it so differently. It was like, Albie thinks he's this, like, woke king or whatever, but he's actually... Like I'm gonna butcher it.
He definitely infantilizes women.
Yes, all three of them go about it in different ways, but bad ways, and it's just like kind of generational misogyny. And I loved it.
I love that conversation that Dominic the father has with Bert the grandfather at dinner towards the end, where he says like, you know, like I'm not gonna put all of the blame on you because I've made some of my own choices essentially, but like. I watched you. Like, I learned everything from you. I watched how you treated mom all of those years. Like, you never taught me how to love someone. You never taught me how to be a man, like all that kind of stuff. And I thought a great part of the show.
I agree 100%. And I need to say this just because we're looking at it. And we brought up the fact that I'm looking up IMDb. So, Kyle, he's Sensei Billy from The Office. But this is something you may appreciate because I haven't seen Californication. But he's Rick Rath for 11 episodes in Californication.
See, that's tough for me only because I watched that before I'd seen The Sopranos.
Okay.
Right. So.
He's uncredited in The Watchmen show as a video testimonial, man. That's funny how I don't know why he's in it like that. But he's also in Bad Boys 1, which I love Bad Boys, so I got to give him that. He was in
classic
it for a second.
Films.
Well, it's kind of like Laura Dern is the voice of his wife when they are on the phone earlier in the season. Laura Dern, like, A-list actress.
That's funny.
It's kind of like, why did they cast Laura Dern as that? Yeah, so she was the voice of the wife.
Oh.
We were like hoping that she would somehow make an appearance as the wife.
Wait, is that who? Wait. Okay, wait. So it's not who they show in the picture.
Sooner she showed the picture, which was later than the voice, we were like, ah, they're not bringing in Laura Dern.
Ah, okay.
Maybe she must just be friends with Mike White. Maybe that's a little, she's going to, she's going to be in White Lotus numero tres.
That'd be cool.
That'd be pretty cool. For sure.
Yeah.
I really liked the grandfather, though. Obviously, he's like a classic caricature of like an old guy
who's
got some money and has done his fair share of carousing. Conversations like about how he can still get an erection, like when he falls and hits his head, and he's like so excited to meet the cousins, and the old woman kicks him out of the house, and everything with him just, to me, just kind of made me laugh. I also liked how there were scenes where he was like, you know, acting not like this bumbling old man, where he actually had some like good observations.
And yeah, like maybe wisdom.
Would hit Albie with like a zinger or something like that.
Yeah,
which I thought was
cool. I was dying laughing, like just to the point of you saying where how he was talking about getting erections and all this kind of stuff, and Albie straight up asked him like, can you, he's just trying to beat around the bush and he's just having the straight conversation. But later he goes, when Mia gives him the hug, and he's like, I'm old enough to be your grandfather, but I'm not gonna lie, I was aroused.
Well, how about when they shower in his room and he walks in and it's just Lucia's tits, or maybe it's Mia's tits.
No, it was Mia. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and he's just like, just like, okay, he knows who they are. He's just like, all right. He wasn't even that mad. It seemed like at he was like, you gave them the key to my room, and it was like, whatever. Like, I got a free show out of it. Basically,
it was cool to see that he wasn't blind to anything. At all. Like, I mean, when his son is having hookers in his room and this and that, and he sees him leaving and Dominic's trying to beat around the bush and not tell him the truth, he's like, bro, what, you think I don't know what's going on? You know, I know they're working girls. Like, come on.
Let's pivot to Albie and Portia.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So Portia, I love her actress. I adore her actress. She's in a couple other things I love. 5 Feet Apart, great movie. She was in Jane the Virgin a little bit. I just love her. She's goofball in real life. Great follow on Instagram. Love her. God, was Portia annoying in this show. Like, she was just, I read a bunch of articles on how they dressed her and how she's really supposed to be this like Gen Z-er who has no idea who she wants to be. None of her outfits really make sense. Some of them are like on trend, but then some of them are trying to be quirky. And it's like, there was so much thought going into Portia's character. I thought Haley Lou did a great job playing her. I just think that Portia was easily one of the more annoying characters on screen, just because it's like, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Really? I guess I didn't really have that perception of her as like annoying. I felt
I wasn't rooting for her for a second.
You weren't, like, was not.
No. I don't know. I guess annoying is a good word for it. But yeah, I was like, no, because as soon as she sandbagged my boy, and here, you know, here's the deal. I understand they're supposed to be like college kids, and yeah, I have no, like, I don't owe you anything, Albie. You know, like, I met you, you're being nice to me, that's great. But you know, I see another dude. If I want to go hang out with him, I can. But it was just so like typical of like, at first, Albie is Kathleen. We don't know everything getting fleshed out yet, and he's a sweet, sweet boy being really, really nice to her, and. You know, and then the scene where he's sitting at the lounge chair and Lucia comes over and he says, my friend's coming over. And then he looks up and she's up there, you know, flirting and, you know, obviously doing it right in front of Albie. And then the bar scene where, thankfully for Albie, Lucia was kind of saving him and distracting him, but she was just making out with the bro in front of him. Like, at that point I was like, okay, you know, I don't care about your character.
I was okay with having like the archetype, if you want to say, like early 20s woman on vacation, realizing, like, I mean, the reason why she's there is weird in the first place, but just being like, I want a fucking adventure. I want to bang some guy that's like crazy and, you know, going to like almost get me arrested versus Albie's going to like, you know, little spoon me at night.
Yeah, no, that's like true. That is
mine
true.
Was less about her choices and more about like her complaining the whole time. Like,
that's fair.
You know, like even later when Leo's character Jack is like, and I say Leo, because I love him. He's from Vampire Academy. He's a main character in Vampire Academy, and he is just like such a stud. And it sucked that he is so terrible in this. Like, he was really...
He was great.
He was so good at being so repulsive by the end.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when he's
oh, yeah.
yelling the like soccer chants...
Oh, it's great.
Like, I knew you would love that. And I'm like, man, this guy's going to murder her. He really is. Like, when it was like becoming more and more obvious that Portia was not getting back to Tanya, I was genuinely so worried and like scared and being like, get Portia, go run.
There is no way in hell that I would have slept in that hotel room that night with him. I don't care if I'm stranded in the middle of Italy.
Yeah.
I would leave that hotel room and try to figure out how to learn to speak Italian before I stay in there with him.
Yeah, really, though. Someone would help. I mean, there's got to be like somewhere to go. Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess it goes back to she's kind of an idiot.
And it's also like it was a weird thing where I was trying to balance whether her situation was more of like, I have like depression, or if I'm like, I'm the young one who, you know, the young girl who just can't figure out what she wants in life. And it's just like the typical, I have no drive or desire, or if it's a balance of both.
I was just going to say, it could be a combo of both. I feel like the second thing could definitely lead you into the first thing of having.
Because like she's talking.
It is easy from the outside. And sorry to just kind of step over you.
Yeah, no.
Like from our perspective, she's at work. Kind of. So she's at a level maybe getting paid. I guess we don't really know the exact agreement, but she's on vacation in Italy. And her boss gave her kind of one directive of just like stay out of the way, which I mean,
but
a lot of people would
be
like, okay, bet. Like,
sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'll stay out, especially because her boss is annoying as fuck. I mean, I love Jennifer Coolidge. I love Tanya, but obviously she would be awful to work for. So I think there's definitely, an angle there where it's like watching her complain, like Kathleen said, is just like, yo, shut up already. Like, you're a young woman on vacation in some insane hotel in Italy. Like, just get over yourself.
Like, when she was going into some of the stories, that's when I was like, all right, if it's depression slash mental illness kind of situation, then I feel bad, obviously, and I understand. But if it's like I'm a young girl who doesn't know what's going on, and I just assume everything's going to be amazing and blah, 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 blah. Because when she's saying, like, is it weird that, like, I'm in Italy and I don't feel anything? Or is it, you know, and she tells the story about when she's like, I my friends are having the time of their lives, and I'm just sitting here like, I don't feel anything. Like, you know, that reminded me of, like, hearing somebody that's like, I don't feel emotions. Like, I don't feel anything, no drive, no nothing. So that's where I was like, okay, I'm trying to figure out here what side I'm tipping on before I make a decision on her. But either way, I think the fact that she makes the decisions to, you know, go with Jack and to kind of do things in front of Albie and, you know, go on this wild adventure, it just seemed like it was more the other side of the scale, not the mental illness side. So, you know, that's where I was like, okay, I'm not a big fan of her with her choices and stuff.
What do you think about her and Albie's ending?
That was like the best few lines.
Yeah,
in the
I thought
airport.
That was hilarious, and I really did like how they had that conversation where, like, the next day after they both like did the damn thing, they're just like, "Hey, you know, see you never. Hope you have a good life." You know, because that's how it is. I mean, they had a little like, "Hey, what's up? You want to be friends for like a day or two, and then see you later." Like, never gonna see you again, probably. But then I did think it was hilarious, like. She's finding out that Tanya's probably dead, you know, and she's like, so can I get your number?
Yeah. Ooh, do you think there's an angle where she's now, I don't think there's where to, like, she's like trying to get a job out of him versus like actually like, cause she's now unemployed. Obviously Tanya's dead. I guess you don't know what
she could be Lucia number two, just trying to get some money, dude.
Yeah. Why not? He's a mark. We already know it.
Yeah,
he really is. Let's talk about the goat, Tanya. Just two seasons. Goat. Fucking, she blew it out of the water in season one. Everyone was so obsessed with her. Had to bring her back for season two. I did not see this Greg of it all and the gays coming. I knew something was sketchy, right? No one just like sees this woman and is like, we're going to treat you to like days and days of like off. First of all, I'm paying for that bajillion-dollar hotel. I'm not going off for days to this other place. Like, I'm just not doing that. I mean, I know she had so much money.
Yeah, she's got buku bucks.
It seemed crazy to me to have done that. It's like
half a bill.
Yeah, so whatever. But I loved the storyline. And like, I thought she went out in obviously such an amazing blaze of glory. I was so sad. I was not guessing that I was going to be her. I thought that was almost like too obvious with the like peril she was in at the end of six. Cause we knew everything. We saw like the quote unquote Uncle Bangin' Jack. We saw like all this stuff going on. We're like, some freaky stuff is going down. It actually took me Twitter the next day to realize the picture was Greg in it. I didn't realize.
Oh,
it was
really?
Greg.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay. Yeah.
You caught on to the Daphne Kidd thing, but not that.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I just like, don't know what Greg
you were
looks
probably
like
on all the same drugs she was on when
yeah,
she was.
100%.
She literally says it. She grabs
yeah,
a picture.
She's like, that looks like Greg.
Well, that's in episode 7. She looks
okay
at
so
it
didn't
earlier.
Oh, I thought. Okay. Okay.
Me and Jimmy, I think we're on the same page of thinking like you had missed that line and didn't even understand yeah at the
no
end of the episode of the season.
In six, when she's like fucking okay that mob guy,
yeah,
she
yeah
looks at it, but then it gets distracted. So I knew it was something, but I was just like, so like, yeah, like this. And I think that's how you're supposed
Steph,
to be.
I made Steph rewind because I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Greg. And then yeah we had to read, you know, on the first look.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't catch that.
Yeah. So, Asia and I were both like Leo DiCaprio in that meme, like snapping.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
pointing
the
across the room,
hand,
like, look at that motherfucker. It's Greg.
Yeah, you got the scotch and the cig in your hand. Yeah, you're like, well, you got you. Come on, you smoking those cigs, right?
I'm a drunk cig kind of guy.
So,
I guess the scotch and the cig. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
So, Tanya being the one who dies is perfect, even though it sucks and I hate it, because my guess was just going to be, soon as the story started fleshing out that she was like going to be in peril, my guess was going to be almost exactly how it went, where she starts killing people by accident, but that was just going to be who one of the dead bodies was and she would live. But it's better that she died, because the first thing I thought of when I saw season one going into season two and that Jennifer Coolidge was going to be in it, I was like, this is just ridiculous, because you're going to have almost like an anthology series, but just place Jennifer Coolidge into these stories where somebody dies in each season. Yeah. So it's like, holy shit, like everywhere I go, people are just getting murdered. Like, I get it. It's a show and it can be like that, but I just thought that was too like annoying a little bit.
It's
so
funny. I was going to say, I don't even know that Jennifer knows that what's his name died in the first one. She's so oblivious. She probably
well,
didn't.
Well, I mean,
know.
I guess that could be true. Like, yeah. But yeah, I'm glad that it ended up being her for that sake. But otherwise, season three is going to miss out
yeah
on her.
Yeah.
She is what was making me laugh out loud the entire season one and season two. The craziness of her. Like, at first, again, I went into this pretty blind, and I don't usually do that for any show. So me and Steph for a second, Steph specifically was like, is this anthology where like they didn't say her name right away? So we're like, are they just like recasting her like almost like American Horror Story, and they're just using her because she's great? And then obviously Tanya, it's Tanya and Greg and this yeah and that, and you go right back into the story. But Jennifer Coolidge is GOAT status. The craziness of her, like the wackiness of her, just like the certain responses she has, I just was like laughing.
Yeah. I mean, I could rattle like four things on the top of my head easy, just even from just this season. Like when she's dressed in pink, it wants to get on the fucking moped is hilarious. Like, what else? When she fucking tells Portia that Jack bangs the guy is so funny the way she says it. Like, there's just so many
things.
I'm
sorry to have to tell you this.
It's so good. She's fucking fantastic. And the season, I think, will miss her, but it felt like a good time to kind of maybe, if they want to keep going with how, I mean, I have no idea how many of these they want to do. It seems like it's not an infinite number, but they could kind of do as many as they want.
Yeah.
And maybe after like a third season, people might have been like, oh my God, okay, like Tanya. Because, I mean, what more else could they really do with Tanya?
I think this was perfect.
I mean, it's just straight up like you place her into the scenario yeah and just have her be funny. And that's yeah again, like that could get old mm-hmm and it could be like
amazing
what I said, where it's like, how many times do you want to keep placing her in here with everybody yeah else being recast?
Yeah. The fact that she just goes out killing everyone, all the gays, is great. Yeah. It's so funny. And then the way she just dies in the dumbest way possible.
Dude, when she's okay, on the boat, go. When she's on the boat and she's freaking out, and she's saying like, oh, I'll have another Chardonnay, please. And she's trying to stall. And then she wants to go to the front of the boat to see if there's anything she can do about like seeing how far away like the land is and like seeing where the captain is. And she thinks they can't see her running. And then she tries to like chill out and walk after.
Yeah, the whole time she's at like after she has the phone call with Portia, she's at the table and she's acting so weird.
Agent kept
bringing up of like she's acting so suspicious. Like it's so obvious that she knows something is up. It's so good.
And at that point, I guess the gays don't care because they know they got her on this boat. So it's like you're dead. At least that's what they think.
I also just want to say for Jennifer Coolidge, I'd never seen this until I sent Jimmy this TikTok yesterday. It's literally like she's, I think it's maybe prior to this, maybe now. I don't know when she said it. She looks like she is now in it. They talk about her being Stifler's mom in American Pie. And she's like, man, it just like opened up so many opportunities. Like I would have had like way less sex, like 200 less. She said 200. It's so crazy. She is such a fucking cool and. For everyone out there, me and Jimmy are obsessed with American Pie. Like we've it was Jimmy's favorite movie. He's my brother. I've been watching them with him since the dawn of time. We saw American Reunion at midnight.
Since the dawn of time.
Yeah. And so we're obsessed. And so Jennifer Coolidge has always been like an OG for us. And I just love her to death.
I mean,
so cool.
It is 20. Oh, my God. Like 20 plus
like
years. Yeah, like 25 years. I don't what American Pie 1 was 99. Okay, so 23 years ago, they created MILF and it's still used and it's about Jennifer Coolidge. Like that is a straight up like
that's a legacy. That's
yeah,
a legacy.
Yeah, I mean
right
there. it's a word or whatever however you want to say it, an acronym that has been used for 23 years and it is mainstream. Yeah. It is mainstream.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's like the number, it might be like the number two porn category in the world.
and that literally like.
Following?
Honestly, hentai.
Really?
According to Pornhub's 2022 Wrapped, a hentai, I think, was number one.
They're like, Kyle, you watched 2,722 minutes of.
I sent that to like a bunch of our friends, and at first they were like, holy shit, I thought this was your Pornhub 2022 Wrapped. And I was like, no, motherfucker, I would never send you that.
Wow.
That tells you a little too much about Kyle.
Yeah, come on.
If he senses that.
All right.
You can know I'm a drunk, sick kind of guy, and that's about as far as you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, right.
So we've touched on Cam, Daphne, Harper, and Ethan. I feel like they're the last ones that we haven't dove into. So if there's anything else you want to say about them and just Ethan and Cameron's background, Daphne and Harper's interactions, and then all four of them, obviously.
I loved Harper. She was a great character for the show. She could definitely be annoying. Watching her like make that heel turn to like, okay, I'm just gonna go scorched earth and just burn this motherfucker to the ground was like, that's exactly what I wanted out of Aubrey Plaza this season. So I was like giddy almost to watch that happen. She was just so good. She played it amazing.
Yep.
And then I'm also just gonna on the same side basically, Theo James was awesome as Cameron.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
my God, what a charismatic piece of shit he is. He's
really
so
is.
Good at
Dude,
it was awesome.
He needs to do those kind of roles more because I think he did say recently like I was typecast for a while and I'm sick of being in that and I'm glad I'm doing White Lotus and I'm pushing the boundaries.
What was he typecast as? Like Divergent?
Yeah, like number. Like he was number four, and I don't really know what he meant, but what I'm trying to say is like I just felt like he was like such a, his voice is like seems iconic to me.
Oh my God,
like he could, and I'm pretty sure he is like a major voice actor. I would have to look that up, but I'm pretty sure he does a lot of voice acting, which makes sense because it's like he's just like an iconic character. He was great, even though you love to hate him kind of guy.
The audacity is all I have to say. Like this.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Episode after episode, the audacity of this motherfucker with the hottest wife of all time, just up to antics. And I do want to talk about this one specific scene that we get either in 7 or 6 where Daphne's on the phone with the kids. Cam is in the bathroom in the mirror. And it's the only time in the whole series his demeanor changes. He is always, it almost felt weird to me. Like, hold on.
Did your headphones just fly off your head? What do you think she's going to say? Okay, no, fine.
So it was an interesting choice because I guess it was the only time we were ever seeing him alone, not around people, right? And maybe that means he knows those kids aren't his, and that, you know, that's what
I was
going to
ask.
So interesting.
That, yeah, I wanted to ask your both of your opinion on that because, and I was going to do it back when we brought up you saying, or you brought up the kids being on the phone and then it alluding to not being hers. So, or his, I think it did blow up Twitter a little bit that episode because people were like, he knows. Cause yeah. Other people were saying, you know, the whole, that proves the phone is proving that they're not his kids. That's what she's alluding to. And like you said, he's like, what is he, brushing his teeth or something? He kind of like looks up into the mirror menacingly.
Yeah, really?
And it's like, because what does she say? Like, oh, the kids want to say hi. Like, yeah. So nice and stuff. And he's like, you know?
He gurs.
But I mean, it the whole dynamic between the two of them is really interesting because it's like, is it an agreement? And it seems like it's an agreement where they're just like, hey, because Aubrey Plaza's character is like, this is fake right away. She's like, this is bullshit. But is it, though? Like, it's bullshit, but between them, it almost seems like, hey, this is an agreement that we're bullshit, but totally. We're just going to act it together. So I feel like it's like, it's confusing.
The one scene that I would highlight almost, and maybe it's, I guess, technically a combination of scenes, is Ethan and him getting in the fight in the water, where Ethan almost drowns him, and then he kind of tries to almost do the same thing. And then that night at dinner, he just like, yeah. Ethan and Harper are eating alone, and then he walks in and he goes, ah, look at these motherfuckers. Like, ah, yeah. And he just joins in and sits down. And I was like, this fucking guy is crazy. And yeah. It's like, obviously, it's at the end of the show, too. So it's just like a theme, obviously, of him doing that. And that was like the last straw where I literally said out loud, I was like, this motherfucker is insane.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm ready to get into my hot take because I thought their ending sucked. Like, I really did. I didn't like at all.
Which
the,
one?
The double couple ending.
Okay.
Like, I just thought that I was so interested. I don't know if sucked is the right word, but I wasn't happy with it. Like, I was so interested in the storyline. And I'm sitting there going, okay, you know, what's going to happen? You know, is this fake between Cameron and his wife? Give me the name again. I'm sorry.
Daphne.
I keep wanting to say her actress's name.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing with Aubrey Plaza where, you know, did she do something with Cameron and is she going to believe Ethan and like all that? But then it turning into me being like, Ethan is going to F him up, baby.
I thought Let's Ethan go. Was going to kill someone.
Like I was waiting for like the blow up of the century where Ethan was going to be like, you know, basically just let it rip. And he almost did. And he kind of did because, you know, but I thought that scene at the dinner should have been like a dinner time throwdown, smashing tables, smashing. And I get it. Like the point is supposed to be that Ethan kind of turned to the dark side with Daphne and like he's accepting. You see the scene with Aubrey Plaza where he's just like, we're good. And it's pretty much do what you got to do to make yourself feel better. And it's telling us that kind of story. But I was like, oh, a little underwhelming. You're telling me a story. I understand you're telling me a story. I'm learning a lesson here about, you know, like people, but I wanted like an explosion.
I think my only issue was why would Cam have invited Ethan? That's the only thing I wanted solved. And everyone thought it was going to be he didn't have any money. Everyone thought it was going to be this or that. But I genuinely, tell me.
Well, Ethan does say like he does pitch him. You know, he does pitch him saying we need to work together. And Ethan says himself, like, did you bring me here to bang my wife? Like, who knows with that guy, to be honest. But he does pitch him saying, yo, bro, you got a lot of money now. And I liked how he was like, yo, you didn't give me any of that insider trading stuff. What's up, man?
See,
we're homies.
I must have missed the pitch. I only feel like I only remember that.
So
you know what? It's very understandable because it's right sandwiched with like jet skis, Molly, hookers.
Yes.
There was a lot going on.
So when he's laying in bed with Aubrey Plaza and she's like, what happened last night, he goes, well, you were right, like we're here for a reason, he pitched me.
Okay,
waiting for like, who you banging, bro? You know, I thought I was gonna get a blow up, and I'm okay with you showing me that Ethan is gonna like turn to the dark side, do what he has to do to feel better and stay with Aubrey Plaza, and you know they're gonna continue their marriage and whatever. But the fact that Cameron sits down and says cheers and they cheers, like, I'm not going to be okay with him saying, me and you were cool, Cameron. Like,
he got back at him. He fucked his wife. He got back at him.
That's right. I think he's willing to do it because he knows that he finally.
Care?
No, but I don't think he even cares almost.
It's not about that.
I mean, actually, I'm sure Cameron would care, actually, but I think it's really not about that. I think it's finally, they talk about it a lot of Cameron's done that to him so many times. And Ethan, kind of, I think, throughout this season has felt less than Cameron, less than Cameron, less than Cameron. And then it's Cameron fucks his wife in his head. So that sends him over the deep end. And then he finally gets one over on him.
Okay.
It's like, yeah. He has more money than him now. He fucked his wife. Like, it's okay. Like, now Ethan is the one that's dominating and conquering.
I would just at least hope that they leave Italy and they're just like, don't fucking talk to me again.
I know. I want them to have fucking dinner dates together. I want it bad. Well, yeah. They also, Aubrey Plaza said that she was pushing to have their ending be like in the airport. Like, they look good in the airport where she kind of like snuggles up to him. And she wanted it to be negative. She wanted them to still be like on bad terms. But they were like, no, it's not like that.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I love Aubrey Plaza, man. Yeah, she is just the greatest on screen. She's,
and I mean,
never fails.
We didn't get Jimmy's fist fight, but we got Ethan and Harper banging, which was great. Needed that bad. She looked great this season.
Aubrey?
Yeah.
Fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm not such a fan of the current blonde hair, but I mean, it's whatever.
I don't think I've seen her with blonde hair.
Yeah,
it's like really recent.
Yeah, Asia made one comment that said she looks like Lady Gaga, and then I can't unsee it now. So I'm like, okay, I'll just wait until she goes back to brunette to stan her absolutely without any conditions.
Should we do our awards ceremony?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think that'll finish our discussions for every other character.
Mm-hmm. All right, MVP and LVP of the season, and I'll let you guys start. I'll go last since I kept throwing mine in there.
I might Michael Scott this where I'm going to start and not know where I end.
Sure.
But
yeah,
I'm going to say that my MVP is going to be Lucia.
Love it.
Hot. Because she was the engine of drama.
Yes,
pretty much,
I agree.
Almost entirely herself. Cameron was in there as well. But
yes,
mostly
we can't
Lucia.
Repeat.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Okay.
Fuck you guys. And Lucia was great. She was great. That's probably all I'll say there. Oh my gosh.
On the Lucia train here, I'm going to cut you off, Kyle. I'm so sorry. And I'll give you time to think about your situation to digest.
That.
Yeah. So we're agreeing that this was totally a ploy, obviously. It ends with her taking 50 grand and peacing out. We don't really know for sure if she actually liked him throughout this process or not. But I was sitting there, I really was waiting for her to cause another kind of explosion where she tells Albie because she likes him so much, I need to tell you something about me and your dad.
Yeah.
And the fact that that didn't happen, I was like, Dominic got out of that scot-free pretty much. Like he, you know, however much we want to talk about entitled and this and that, like he gives up the 50 grand, which I don't know how rich he is, but Albie says it's nothing to him. So he gives up the 50 grand. He is very emotional about wanting to go back to his wife, whether he's a POS or not, and can't be faithful to her. But you know, he gets that hopefully where Albie gives him the, you know, the good word, but he never gets busted for the, and I don't know how he does it, to be honest, for the, you know, for Lucia, the whole Lucia side of things. But, you know, we didn't get that, but I was waiting for it. And that was like another thing I was waiting to happen every single time they were together.
I just think that's another one of those seeds. Like Cam didn't get busted with Daphne about that either. And he's they're walking together and he drops the envelope on the table behind them and just winks and looks forward. Like this is just the anxiety of the White Lotus, right? Not every seed gets like absolutely exploded.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But you just have to feel the anxiety the whole time until it's done.
And it makes more sense. Like if we think that she was playing him and like fully playing him almost, and you can have a little bit of feelings, but if you want to see through your heist, you're not going to cause an explosion midway. Hey, totally. So that makes sense.
Okay. Continue, LVP Kyle. Is going to be Head Gay. I don't remember his name.
Okay. Got it.
But
I forget his name.
Captain Gay. Just a flop.
Not Captain Gay, because Captain Gay was
that's
the funny
true.
Scene with,
that's
with
true.
Tanya, where she's trying to talk to the Italian guy, and she's like, all these gays, and he's like, he's a gay, and she's like, oh, you're gay.
we'll say Head Gay, because at least the other ones got like quick deaths, besides the guy who jumped off the boat, seems
yeah, he's swimming
him,
to
but he
the
had to like suffer a little bit, and he also didn't give Tanya the right answer, which I was pissed about. He should have just said yes, he was dying. He should have just told her whether it was Greg or not.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. That's me.
I'll go my MVP because she's my girl, Tanya.
Love it.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Jennifer Coolidge did it for me. Very, very. I don't know if she was funnier in season one or season two. I think it might have been season one where she was actually comedically funnier, where I was laughing out loud. But I like that she got more of like a main storyline. You know, she was kind of the side story for the first season. This one was just like, boom, you know, obviously with the ending, it was her story. And even though I was very interested with the couples, she did it for me. So Tanya for life, MILF, you know, iconic. So LVP, I think I'm going to go Jack. Okay. Because he was just, you know, like I knew that he was sketchy in the first place. Like, you know, he purposely shows that bod, jumps into the pool, and is trying to take Portia from my boy Albie back when Albie's still being nice and you know. And it is Portia. I did want to rewind. Like, it is Portia that kind of teaches him a lesson and says, like, yeah, you need to be a little bit more, like, assertive. But anyway, his whole trajectory, I mean, except for the fact that he saves her technically, because I'm assuming he was told to kill her, right?
I would think that, yes.
And he chose to let her live, which is good for him. But, you know, like you said, Kathleen, as soon as it starts, you start finding out the sketchiness of it all. The entire scene where he takes her, or the entire sequence where he takes her on that day trip while they're trying to have the party with Tanya, he's just like, I can't even, like, it's secondhand, like, I can't even be around you, man. So, yeah, he again, great acting from the actor, and he's our homie in Vampire Academy, but yeah, he's my LVP.
And he's a fucking West Ham fan, so fuck him. That's for you, Paul.
My MVP is Daphne. Loved her. I just thought she was so compelling on screen. Every line she delivered was excellent. And Greg is my LVP. I was going to say Jack, but Greg is, I know he was only in maybe one or two episodes, but man, is that guy just the fucking worst or what? He treats our girl like shit all the time.
We went, so LVPs think, are all in the anti-Tanya storylines.
Yeah. So you think that he's like, hey, we don't like you because you're cheating on her. And then it evolves into a whole, like, you're trying to get her killed so you take her money.
I kind of always thought he was in it for the money. And then when he was on the phone and stuff, like, I thought it was cheating. I did not think it was like espionage or whatever the fuck, but
right. Conspiracy to commit murder.
Espionage. Yeah.
It was great.
Spy.
I mean,
it was corporate espionage.
I love the idea of like this conspiracy to commit murder in these Italian palazzos and whatever at these parties.
Sexy.
It felt very, and it's very sexy. This is weird, but it's definitely very sexy.
All right. Next one is who you changed your mind about the most throughout the season. I said Mia. Now you guys.
Oh, this one's tough, man.
I
almost have to say Albie, only because of outside the show influences of me loving Todd from The Magicians and being like, Albie's my fucking guy, ride or die. And then it was just every episode was worse and worse and worse for him. So I guess it's him. Yeah, I'm just going to have to say him. I mean, literally one of the worst scenes I've ever, like, my eyeballs have ever witnessed is him like talking to Jack and Portia in the little club on that deck. I like wanted to rinse my eyeballs out and just go deaf.
Yeah,
it was bad. So yeah, that him.
Same.
Kathleen, you had a perfect answer with Mia. Albie would have been my answer too, Kyle. So I don't want to cheat and say that. Maybe I'll say Greg, to be honest, because with Greg, I just thought he was going to be a lower end character who just so happens to be there as part of the storyline. And then when he leaves and it's just, you know, he cheated on her and she's just going to leave him and have her little party with the Italian gays and whatever. But it ends up turning into like the plot twist that he is a big part of this conspiracy, the main part of the conspiracy. And you see him in the picture and blah, blah, blah. I'll take that. You know, maybe because I would say more so along the lines like, hey, I don't care about you. You're a boring character, pretty much. To okay, well, now you're like the main character of this conspiracy. So I'll go there, even though it's kind of a weak answer.
Okay. My honorable mention will be Valentina, only because we didn't talk about her a ton.
Oh my God,
and I think that she like
she was so creepy. It was making me so anxious all the time until
it
the
was
end.
Yeah. She was bad, really bad in the beginning, because it was, I mean, obviously we come from season one and Armand is one of the greatest White Lotus characters over both seasons.
Sure was.
Just fantastic character for television, and she was obviously almost the opposite of him, where she was like outwardly rude and also like in privately rude. And so it was kind of like, fuck this bitch, fuck her, fuck her, fuck her, fuck her. She was creepy. And then at the end, it kind of like it humanized her a lot. And I was like, oh, okay, I kind of get it. Like, she's just has all this pent up, like sexual, emotional frustration that she literally has no idea what to do with it. Yep. And then our girl Mia pops
her
nut.
Lets her loose. Yeah,
and then we're out here.
Loved it.
Okay. And she's
ripped. Funny because. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is. Oh,
Jimmy got distracted by the muscle mommy thoughts he was having.
No, I for a second, I was trying to figure out who you meant when you said ripped. But I was like, are we talking about my homie, freaking Ethan? He was pretty damn ripped.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
Even Al, he looks great.
Well, he was actually the most surprising to me because he's wearing like the baggier shirts in the beginning where it's like button down shirts. And I'm not expecting him to go for his run and take it off. And I was like, all right, bro, got them washboards going.
Yeah.
But, I need to talk about this with you guys before we end. The Lack of Cowardice by HBO.
Oh, well, yeah. It's still a fake schlong, though. That pisses
proven?
Me off. Yeah, it's confirmed.
Well, I mean,
James's
to be
gigantic
honest, if it was if it's not his. I mean, if still. It was his, that's just ridiculous. Good
still.
For him, but that is just ridiculous. But they still show whatever they want to show.
Yeah.
And on this podcast, we appreciate the lack of cowardice. I mean, how many times we saw men in shows like Carnival Row bend over and there's no anything, no sack, no nothing.
Yeah, show us some back sack. We know it's there. Out.
Especially like a half horse man. Like, you know, there's going to be some
CGI'd out. Like, come on, you're going to show us women. You're going to show us women. You got to show us men too.
Yeah, it was only fair game. We got to see Lucia's tits a ton. So it was like, all right, throw some cock.
And I'll say this every time. Every time, it's always the real parts of women and not the real parts of men.
Yeah, I mean, because men are like, yo, I don't know if I can deal with this being on screen because men are insecure. Okay?
Yes, they are. Yes, it's true.
Men are insecure, little lonely bastards.
So the next one before the bank, he'll marry his favorite couple. Now, there's not that many couples in general, so we can just do a quick one. I'm just going to say Daphne and Cameron because they're just so wild and you can't not love them even though you hate them. So that's me.
Is there any good couples?
No.
I'm going
to
say.
So to you, it's your favorite couple to watch, which that makes sense.
Yeah, interpret it however you want. I'm going to say Tanya and the Mafia guy.
Love yeah, they
because,
had a...
because of an extension of what I'd said about the whole murder mystery conspiracy in a palazzo in Italy. They're doing cocaine and banging. I mean, she's cheating, but fuck it. Sexy.
For the longest time, I would have said Lucia and Albie because she was playing me and I thought that it was actually going to be like a nice little thing going on. I'm going to steal your answer because you talked me into it. Me and Valentina had a little bit of something and I like that.
I like that
whole scenario. No, she don't like me.
I thought you meant you and Valentina when you said me and but it was Mia and Valentina. Okay. I thought you were throwing a little Italian at it. It's like a Mia and a Valentina.
My God.
I was going to say, bro, her whole storyline is that she's a lesbian.
Oh, my God. No, I just really like that, you know, we already talked about it. Mia didn't seem like she had a storyline going anywhere. Valentina wasn't having a great storyline. She was taking some L's. She wasn't doing great for herself. And then the two of them come together and we got some TV magic with just a great character development, great, you know, scenes between the two of them. I'm down with that. So I'm going to go with those two.
Cool. All right, boys, you get to kick this one off. This is our Bang Kill Marry. It's been so long since Bingetown did Bang
really
Kill
Marry.
I mean, it used Love to be it. A staple for our first 200 episodes or so. And then I think it feels like every time we covered like the Wilds and we were like, these are supposed to be teenagers. We can't do this. Like it gets tricky. And then we stop.
There's been reasons.
Also, like,
yeah, there's been
episodes
reasons.
Are long. You know, come on. So here we go. Our girl Bang Kill Marry we'll start with, and I'll throw this at Jimmy first, and then Kyle, then me. Mm. Daphne, Harper, and Lucia.
This might be hot take, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to bang Lucia. That's not the hot take. I'm going to marry Daphne, and I'm going to kill Harper.
100%.
That's
okay.
Also
I just
answer.
Didn't know.
Me too.
Yeah, okay, I knew didn't know when you started with, I don't know, this is a hot take. I knew you were going to say the cookie cutter answer that we both were going to have.
It's not. I don't think it's that cookie cutter because if I, me as a person, I wouldn't. Well, I mean, If we talk about the fact that maybe Daphne, and I guess, I don't
she's
know.
She's a serial adulterer. Really talk...
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. This is what I guess we could talk about this for 2 seconds. Is she an evolution of a person? Like, did she evolve into who she is because of how Cameron was to her and she loves him?
Good point.
Or do you think these are two people that are like that and that's why they are okay? Do you think she...
You're saying like, if you treat her right, she'll treat you right.
Right. Like, I'm saying, yeah. like, if I'm me and she's going to be my wife, then I feel like we would have a normal relationship and she would be awesome.
I guess the real question comes in, too, of is it post-divorce Daphne? Like, does she have kids?
Oh.
But well, yet half the
care.
Money?
I'm still going Daphne.
Okay.
Love it. If she yeah, has half the, kids... Half the money. I'll probably go. I'm
going
to change my answer.
Pre-Cameron Daphne, where he didn't change her into who she is now.
Okay.
And she has a lot of female friends because we're a normal couple. We're not super rich. We're just homies.
Shut up, Jimmy.
If that's the Daphne I get, I'll take that Daphne. But just to switch it up, yeah. if it's post-divorce Daphne, then I'll marry Lucia.
Whoa.
Bang.
You'll take that 50K, dude.
Oh, yeah. Of course, bro. I'm a gold digger. Wow. And oh, now it gets tough. Probably bang Daphne and kill Harper still.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing the same as Jimmy. Love it. It's okay. Perfect. And it's so funny. We keep talking about Aubrey Plaza. I don't know if either of you, I don't think either of you have ever seen Happiest Season. It was like a Christmas movie that came out 2 years ago where Aubrey Plaza plays a gay character and it's the best. I'm gonna watch it immediately after this. I keep thinking and I say that because the other main character's name is Harper in it. So, too.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Yeah. So, okay. Now I'm going to throw this one to Kyle, then me, then Jimmy. So, ooh. Kyle, Cameron, Ethan, and Albie.
I will marry Ethan, bang Cameron, obviously, and kill Albie.
So, it's a little like, yeah, this is a little tough because the marry is hard here, I think.
Yeah.
I think that this show proves that Ethan was changed by the events of the show, except for the fact where we don't really understand why all of a sudden he's just like, I don't know if it's all of a sudden, but he doesn't want to have sex with his wife and he'd rather look at porn and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what those kind of issues are. I don't know if it's because of his relationship with her or if he's just that kind of guy. But in general, I go with Ethan to marry.
There's no way he'd have those problems with us, 100%. Bro. Come on, look at us. Yeah. He wouldn't have those problems with us.
100% bang Cameron, though.
Okay.
Whether it's prosthetic or not.
I'm changing it up because I'm gonna marry Albie because money.
Boo.
I'm not signing a prenup either, so.
And he can
but
do
you
magic.
Could definitely convince him not to make a prenup. You'd be like, that's archaic fucking patriarchal bullshit right there. And he'd be like, oh, you're so right. Wow.
I'm
going to
kill
so
Ethan,
you.
Even though he's smoking hot. And then I'm going to bang Cameron because I feel like he would just throw me around like ass. Love that.
Cameron did it for me. Oh, that's all I got to say. He did it for
Jimmy
me.
Changes the subject.
Hey, man, there's three family members in this binge town out of
know,
seven, and
tough.
We all do bang, kill, marry. So, you know,
I'd say I'm an honorary fourth. I'm at Thanksgiving.
Oh, you really are.
You are.
Binchtown is a family.
Yeah, this is true. Okay. So that's going to wrap up White Lotus season 2. I had a blast. It was fun just to talk about. It was fun to watch it. This show really exemplifies, I guess you could say, why I love weekly releases. Granted, it was like, oh my God, we got to wait another week. But it was fun even to talk with people in between the weeks, in between the episodes of like, what's this, blah, blah, all that. Like, so it was great. I'm so glad we got together to do at least a whole season thing. I had a blast. Sounded like you two had a blast. I hope that if you were listening, you had a blast as well. So if you did, please, please subscribe on whatever you're listening on. If you have not already, whatever service that is, you'll get all of our updates. You'll get notifications when we drop episodes, which we are planning to drop a ton in the next like 2 to 3 weeks, months, honestly, plus. You can follow us on social media at Bingetown TV on both Instagram and Twitter. That's going to be like really up to date stuff of like what we're watching, what we're looking forward to when we post episodes. Also, just random like news about shows we love, blah blah blah, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, we're coming out with what's coming up. We're working on Arcane at the moment. little Rooks and Vets with you two being rookies watching for the first time.
Yep.
Alice in Borderlands season 2 is actively coming out. We're watching that show, which we love. We got interview. 1899 yeah. interview coming out. So if you watched that show, which you probably should have, if you didn't, go watch it. Definitely keep an eye out for that. And what, The Last of Us is coming out. Yellow Jackets is coming out. So we're going to stay busy. So if you liked us, stay busy with us and follow along.
Happy holidays, y'all.
Yeah, and of course that as well. Yeah, happy holidays.
Nice.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.